Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth Is Out There, Voice of People radio show. We got to keep it local today because we got a good school board here in Broward County. Before we get to our special guest, I will introduce to my co-host, Scarlett. How are you doing today, Scarlett?
I'm tired. I've been up since 4 a.m. Let's rock and roll.
Hey, we got a very important guest that's running for school board in District 8 here in Broward County, and his name is Maurice Mo Helton. Hey, Mo, how are you doing?
I am following the sentiments of your co-host, but I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well. It's been a long day, but I'm doing phenomenal as usual. So thanks for having me
that's
on. I appreciate it.
We're glad to have you.
Absolutely.
Really quick question for you, and that is the idea of running in Broward County School Board and with all the stuff that's going on here in Broward County, what is your vision?
What is my vision of running for school board in Broward County? And with all the stuff going on down here, well, my vision is to be the catalyst for change. It's unfortunate that it's when you think of Broward County that you automatically think conservative, or you think, it's when you hear conservative in Broward County, you're like, oh, I feel so sorry for you because you know that you're outnumbered. And it's unfortunate because the reason why we're in these situations, it's because we've often voted one way and one way only. And people are just, they're not admitting that they're wrong. They're not admitting that they can't keep doing what they're doing, and they can't keep sabotaging themselves, their communities, their school systems. Something's got to change. So my vision is, you know, as somebody who, yes, I am conservative. However, I'm very involved in my community. There's nothing that you can stick to me that, you know, you can say negative. But I'm hoping to use that reputation to be a catalyst for change, to be somebody of integrity who, regardless of party affiliations, and I hope because of a party affiliation, can actually make conservatives look or highlight it as who we really are, you know, just Americans. And hopefully this can be the catalyst for change.
For disclosure purposes, we here, three of us here, Rahsaan, Scarlett, and I all voted for you.
I'll say it again. I couldn't hear you.
All three of us here voted for you. Joseph, Scarlett, and Jordan.
Well, listen,
so you got
thank
three
you
votes.
So much. I appreciate that. Well,
plus
I,
whatever
I
you vote for, at least you know
for.
That.
No, well, no, listen, I really appreciate that. I appreciate every phone call, text message, email, Facebook message from someone who says they voted for me or even sending me a photo of them, checking my name. They're so proud to vote for somebody who I and this is something I told around very proudly. I'm not a politician, but I've you know, gotten pretty recognized pretty quickly in the political arena. So I feel good about it. I appreciate every ounce of support. Thank you so much for your votes. Continue to do a great job of spreading the word.
What made you want to run for school board?
To be honest with you, when I saw that another politician was elected to a state Senate seat, and immediately a group of other politicians lined up to fill the open school board seat, I'm just like, that's when I think of school board, I think it's it's something a parent does, or you know, a teacher, an educator, someone does, not like a politician who's like seeking the next level up. So I didn't want, especially in District 5, that was the initial district I planned to run in. I just did not want to see somebody take advantage of those students, because I work closely with those students. They're important to me. They're like my own personal kids, a lot of those kids in that community. So I just did not want to see them taken advantage of again by a political system. So I wanted to be the unpolitician to depoliticize a school board seat.
What do you think about critical race theory?
Say it again, what do I think about critical race theory?
Correct.
I think that's something that if you're going to have, that should be done at a college level. That sounds like something you have a debate about, not something you teach. When you hear a word theory, you don't go around saying, yeah, let's teach you a theory. And especially as an African-American, especially a Caribbean, of Caribbean descent, I'm from Jamaica. You know, I came in this country and I fought for every inch of everything that I've gotten. And I don't think I've been oppressed in regards of getting anything. As a Christian, I know that once you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, the playing field is even on everything. If anything, you now have an advantage. So to teach that, you know, kids have a disadvantage history, which don't get me wrong, I understand the importance of American history and that, you know, some parts of it are not pretty, some of it extremely not pretty and, you know, disturbing. It's not fair to be teaching one side as a victim and another side as a demonized individual or a demonized group of people. So I don't think it's something that should be taught in our schools. If anything, if they want to discuss that kind of thing, that's like, you know, college level debate or even in a debate arena, but not something you teach as a school class or curriculum, anything that should be on a school curriculum.
By far, listeners, the person that you were talking about that went from school board to state rep, that was Dr. Osgood you were talking about, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. And we have plenty of run-ins with Dr. Osgood. She's not for the kids.
She's corrupt.
She was just for herself.
No, let me ask you another question.
Sure.
As far as the gender thing and the sex and the change and the altering and the mind playing, what's your take on that?
So this is my take on it, because that's like one of the questions I get asked the most, especially by people who are not conservative, especially knowing that I'm a minority, and they try to like string it all together, but it shouldn't be something you string all together. Like just because you're LGBTQ, whatever, does not you know, marginalize you or make you a minority. You're a person regardless of whatever you choose to do in this free country called America. As far as this gender identity and, you know, sexual whatever, whatever, kids are performing at 50% proficiency at grade level. You know, they can't read, they can't write, they can't do math. They're biggest fish to fry in our education system. This shouldn't even be on the table for discussion in our schools until we can, you know, if they can't even comprehend math, how can they comprehend such a, you know, something of that magnitude, or like, who do I identify as? Where do we go for so far from in this country, you know, man, woman, boy, girl, male, female, to having 82 different options to where I can look at somebody and, you know, to me, she looks like a woman, but I could offend her because I don't see deep down in her inner spirit that she identifies as a man.
Low self-esteem and poor coping skills.
A lot of those things, you know, what's the thing that they say nowadays, like dysphoria or whatever have you, a lot of different things. And for me, again, if you're older and you want to identify as a penguin, by all
means, knock yourself out.
You know what I mean? But we're not going to introduce these concepts to children who are, you know, their brains are still forming, their sense of awareness and all the other parts of being just a child is still forming, their innocence is still intact, to now introduce these foreign concepts and then create confusion, and especially, you know, in a country where, you know, parents have the right to raise their children how they want to, you're going to infringe upon those rights by saying you have no choice but to learn or to be taught these things and create confusion. I want to share this part real quick. I have a soon-to-be 13-year-old daughter, and when she was 10 years old and in the fifth grade, she came home, and I'm very thankful that we have a very open relationship, and I hope my wife's not listening to this, because I have never shared this with my wife. I only, my daughter and I have a very, you know, open relationship, so she, you know, I'm her confidant, but I don't think she's listening. So anyway, she came home and was confused on whether or not, because her grandmother's a devout Catholic on, you know, on her mom's side, and grandma told her that gay people go to hell, which again, you know, I'm not going to, you know where I stand on that as a Christian. If people just, you know, they want to believe otherwise, that's on them. But anyway, so she was like, you know, what if I am gay? I don't want to go to hell because of this, that, the third, or whatever. But I'm like, where's this even coming from? She was like, at school, they let you know that if, you know, you could be gay or you could be straight or you could be this or you could be that. I'm like, listen, they need to be doing math, science, reading, and they do not need to be having this discussion with, at the time, my 10-year-old daughter to create this level of confusion. So I'm proud to say that now at 13 years old, she's brought up a boy that she's interested in, and, you know, we're clear, she likes boys. She flirts with boys, likes boys, she thinks they're cute, she dresses cute, she's a young lady, she's attracted to young men. But that level of confusion in fifth grade really bothered me.
Because they indoctrinate them and they think in their head.
Recruit. That's why we have the parental rights law and what DeSantis said.
Right.
And that protects the kids from these
left-wing
leaders.
I don't think that's
leaders.
For school to do. School is
it's
there
not,
for one reason. Educate our babies. Teach them how to write. And they don't even do script anymore. You know?
Yeah.
And they, it's a lost art.
Right. No, like, when I send my kids to school, I don't expect them to come home more confused than what they were when, you know, I expect them to come home with more
they
understanding.
They go to class, they learn their lessons, and they come home with homework.
Right.
This
and
way
then, you know,
they can repeat what they were educated with in the day, you know?
Because I'm an involved dad. Like, I'm the homework dad. I get, you know, my wife tends to, like, leave me with homework and all the other, you know, duties that she doesn't want to do.
No.
So I'm there doing homework and everything else. So I don't expect the conversation to go left and say, hey, by the way, you know, like, you know, am I gay? Am I straight? Am I, like, where is this coming from? And then you tell
me. I never had that conversation with my parents. When I had homework, we did it, you know? When I didn't understand the project, they would go over with me, and I would understand it better, and I would do the work, okay?
Correct.
So these days, it's just very different.
It is very different. And, you know, again, me, you know, and again, I spoke to a gentleman. I was in Miami Beach at a program I run in Miami Beach, and a gentleman from Cuba was just like, you know, the standard of living that he grew up with in Cuba, to come to this country and see that we're going to that, we're moving towards their standard of living, the socialist standard, is just unbelievable. You know, this is a free country. And I have rights as a parent. And it was interesting that the other day I saw a parent say, no, you know, the rights of the education belongs to the professional. So many people think that. They believe this thing. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So.
No. They follow, they make a lesson, they prepare their lessons, and they educate the kids. Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
When you're campaigning in the area, what is the output or input by the parents? What are you seeing? What is it asking you to do? What is that they want most? Then, what do you see?
To be quite honest, they want somebody who's really going to fight for their rights. And you know, you think it's like, hey, listen, you know, let's be more transparent about the budget. Let's be more transparent about the curriculum in our schools. Let's be, you know, school safety. School safety, you think, would be like the number one thing that parents are concerned about. And don't get me wrong, it is definitely on the top of, you know,
it
on
is,
the list.
It is.
You know, it's critical, you know. But the number one thing is parents are really concerned about what their rights are. They didn't know that there was ever a point that it's in question. Like, hey, you know, and this is even in minority groups, minority parents, you know, Black, Hispanic, Muslim. I deal with a lot of, you know, Muslim groups and Hindu groups. We all share in fundamental principles about raising our children. And, you know, we believe that it is our God-given rights to raise our children, not to co-parent to the government or the school board, or to have someone say, listen, this portion belongs to us. Every portion of my child belongs to me. So that's, believe it or not, like I wanted to run for school with the focus of focusing on, you know, rigorous curriculums. You know, I came in saying that kids are not performing at grade level or standard level. They're below, severely below level. And I thought, you know, that was what I was really going to fight for. But come to believe it, or not, it's really about parental rights. People who are like, really? I didn't know my rights were being infringed upon. I didn't know these things were being taught, because they're trying to hide it. They're saying, you know, it's funny because I highlighted it in a post that I did online, because they're saying, oh, you know, Broward County School says they're not teaching critical race theory, and they're saying it in Miami-Dade too. So I went on the website, found where it's in the curriculum, circled it, and posted it on the comment on Facebook. You know, because parents are not aware of these things. They don't realize that a lot of the things that are on the school curriculum, or in the schools, are hidden from them. And they actually have, I forgot the name of the form, but you have to send a request in to be able to have access to the information. And believe it or not, they can actually deny your request for access to said information. So I want to be a voice for parents. I also want to be a set of ears for parents, and to be able to be transparent with the things that you have a right to know about as far as your child's education.
You have the right to know what that teacher is educating your child with.
100%.
The whole thing.
Would you support increased awareness, increased participation of the parents, like able to get more, like what used to be parent-teachers meetings and stuff like that, to try and get interaction between the parents and the teachers and the students.
Right. Believe it or not, teachers actually want that. They crave it, because if you speak to any really talented, gifted teacher who can identify that your child is lacking in certain areas, the first thing they want to do is reach out to the parent. The worst thing that they're encountering is that a lot of parents are not involved in their child's education. That's the issue, and that's what the system has been taking advantage of, because they know parents out there, some of them are not taking, you know, paying attention. It's an alarming amount. I actually don't know the exact amount, because I don't think anyone's actually studied the numbers on this. But the teachers, they have this information, because they'll show you the emails, the text messages, the responses that they're getting back from parents as they reach out to parents and try to get away with
it. If you don't show up at parent-teacher meeting, I'll give your child an F.
Yeah, well,
you
know, and I've mentioned it.
I mean, really, okay, be interested in your child's life. What'd you have a child for?
No, exactly. You've got to, and this is something that
life is serious. And if these young ones are not prepared to go out in the world, they're just going to bumper around. Really?
We're seeing that right now. We're seeing that right now. I travel a lot. I take vacations with my family, and we go places where I like to spend cash. I'm old school. I don't trust this chips and swiping cards. You know, your information gets stolen quickly. So I use cash a lot, and I give my kids cash. So sometimes my daughter, she's like, what's this? How does this work? how do I get change back? What's change? I don't know how this works. And it's not just my kids that are, lost by this, this idea of cash and using it and getting change back, but the people who are actually taking the cash from me are my children. They're looking at you know how many times I've gotten this wrong change?
Thanks to Governor DeSantis, they are required before they graduate high school to learn everything you can about finances, including making change, banking, and all the other stuff.
Absolutely. Listen, thank God for Governor DeSantis on a lot of different things, but definitely for that.
How about special needs, ESE kids? How are you going to improve the ESE program here in Broward County? Because a lot of these teachers don't know how to handle special needs.
Well, you're going to resolve it the same way you resolve the teacher shortage issue. Pay the teachers. A lot of teachers, they're certified teachers that deal with ESE kids. I've worked with a lot of different kids in the school system. I've seen teachers who work with ESE and special needs children. A lot of them are brilliant at what they do. It takes a lot of patience and, love and understanding to be able to work with any student, but even more so with a special needs student. And the way you resolve that is by compensating them for that, because again, they sacrifice so much of their time to be. The teaching schedule is a schedule I never want to do again. They go to school early in the morning to beat traffic and beat school traffic, to then be on campus and stuck until after you let the kids out. Some of them are staying late to run after school programs, and even in the after school programs you have the kids who are special needs that they want to still participate in certain programs, so the teachers stay after school and they help the kids with special needs and just there's aftercare. So they spend a lot of time with our children, and again, it's demanding on us as parents, because we know when what happened in the pandemic and you had to spend a lot of time with your own kids, or in the summertime. Like I said, me and my family were very close, so in the summer we spend time as a family. It's a lot. So you can't
The pandemic and the virtual learning actually exposed the indoctrination recruitment.
The corruption
and everything.
Kids need to go to school not just to learn, but to be social.
Absolutely.
To make friends, to communicate, have fun,
correct,
to feel good.
Correct.
Eliminate the mandates. You can't communicate and associate with people if you got a mask on. Everybody, because you can't see what anyone's talking, because expressions are part of learning. And if you keep having these masks on and all that stuff, you're actually hurting these kids. And for the last couple of years, especially in areas that are run by the left, by the Democrats, I call them communists, they really destroy the kids.
Worse? I went to the doctor, it was last week, and you have to wait online because the doctor's office is still indoctrinated. But a woman came in with a mask and big, giant, dark glasses, and you couldn't see who she was.
Uh-huh.
So this is what they're doing to these kids.
They're conditioning them to, conform to this level of, this form of society where they're used to wearing a mask. And, it's weird. Like, years ago, you go into any establishment wearing a mask, they were calling the cops on you.
Right.
Now they're calling the cops on you if you don't have a mask on.
It's scary.
It is.
We live in a free state.
The other thing is out there in Broward County is the Promise Program that was supposed to be eliminated, but there are still stories that they're still using that idea. Would you totally eliminate the Promise Program, which actually resulted in Nicholas Cruz killing people?
Yes, I would absolutely get rid of it. There's one thing I've heard over and over that just does not work, and this is from teachers, parents, everyone in the school just does not agree that this Promise Program works. Now, some people, and I'm pretty sure because obviously it's still there, it's still kind of lingering around, so some people may disagree with me. But I work with those students, you know, the at-risk youth and kids that, you know, may be in need of the Promise Program. And I feel as though it marginalizes, and I don't like using that word, but when it's relevant, I'm going to use it, but it marginalizes kids. It labels them as someone who is a target, who is quote-unquote at risk. And I hate using that word when it comes to these kids because the reality of it is every kid's at risk. They're at risk of something. Of anything. It's the world that we live in nowadays. But these are some of the most brilliant children I come across. It's not that they have challenges that are, you know, incapable of overcoming. They just need the right tools and the right people in supporting them in overcoming a lot of different things. So, like I said, I work with a lot of
kids. Not to be bullied.
Not to be bullied, exactly. These are things that you learn at home. It's not the responsibility of the school to teach your kids how to not be a bully. It's you as a parent. Some homes you come from, the kids are being bullied, and it's not from other students, it's from their parents.
Right.
When you send these kids to public school, you don't know what you're getting in the classroom. So it's incumbent upon you as the parent to tell your kid how to behave and what behaviors are not acceptable by you. So if you bring something
to
my son,
to
listen
to the teacher and mind your manners and do your work.
When my son goes to school, like, I send him there one way. And sometimes it happens where he comes home and he says a word that we don't use in our house, or he does an action that we don't use in our house, or we get a teacher that the teacher says, listen, your son did this today, your son did that today. And what we do as parents, as what every parent should do, is you make corrections. And you send your child back to school corrected on that behavior. Now, if you don't make corrections, if the parental involvement is very limited, then those corrections aren't made. And that's what, you know, as a kid develops or grows, it compounds and it becomes an issue. But at the same time, it's not the school's responsibility. It's the parents' responsibility.
It's the parents to teach them respect, morals, and values.
And it's the school's job to hold those kids accountable and hold
the
parents
accountable. For the respect, the morals, and the values, so they can do their job, so one person or two cannot disrupt the total class to do their work.
Because I know when I was younger, when I first came to this country in the second grade, I was a bad apple. I'm not going to lie. I spoke a heavy Jamaican accent and no one understood me. So I said all the bad things. And there was one parent-teacher conference that my mom had with my teacher, and the next day I spoke clear English. So
that's what it's supposed to be.
Mom ain't going to take that crap. You know, and you're right. Colorful metaphors are unacceptable. Nobody wants to hear it. It's poor communication.
But as far as the main thing is, when you're teaching these kids, it's not like you said, it's not the teacher's responsibility to teach these kids the foundation of morality and stuff. That's the parents. And that got to be started even before the baby's born, when you talk to the baby and continue to grow that way. So when they get to public school area or age, they already have a foundation to lean on, and then they can grow from that so they can actually continue to learn.
Where they make good, positive decisions that affect their life. It does.
Exactly.
You know, from kindergarten to wherever you're going to live your dreams, and it's not happening, and we need to make it happen.
Right. Every kid is learning differently at a different pace. As a member of the school board, how do you take these children and put them into areas where they could benefit the most as they grow in their education?
Well, as a school board member, what I would want is my teacher to be doing their job, because by doing their job, I mean have the ability to hold a student accountable. I believe that teachers are gifted in knowing if a child is not learning in one way and learning how to make changes to adapt to that child's ability to learn a certain subject. I've seen it happen when I was in school. I've experienced it as a student because I'm not the easiest person to teach. So when the teachers realize, you know, that I'm not learning something, they shift and they try something different, and then boom, I get it. I understand. And I do it now as an educator. I teach chess. I run chess education programs, and it's, you know, not everyone gets, you know, how to move the pieces one way. So I have to reintroduce it another way. And if these kids are not getting it, what I do as an instructor or as an educator is I tell the parent what I believe, or I tell, you know, I explain to them, listen, this child's not getting it this way. We may have to remove them from this, you know, class environment, do one-on-one so that way they can, you know, try and do it a little bit better. And I think a teacher knows how to convey that to not only parents, but to also say, listen, this child may have to do this one more time. What's been taken away from the school system is the ability for them to say, hey, he's getting a D. He's not performing. He needs to stay back. A D now means he gets to go forward. And it's unfortunate because a lot of children...
But he's missing out on all the good stuff.
As far
it's
as
a
what,
pass along. And they need to know this. Every little piece to the puzzle is important.
Right.
You know?
So, and
if he or she... God, I just used pronouns. Poor me. If he or she just misses it out, it could be a really big thing in life. Really.
Right. No, exactly. Listen, I believe a teacher should say, you know what, this kid needs another year in this class. Hold him back. And maybe that'll incentivize the kid to actually work harder, because if that's a real thing. If you're like, oh, man, if I fail, I stay back, then I'm inclined to work harder.
That happened. You know who did that? Charlie Crist.
Oh, yeah, that he removed it?
Yeah.
Charlie Crist did.
Charlie Crist was a really bad governor. And so was Jeb Bush.
Yeah, the Common Core and all that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Bad.
Yeah, no, listen. Yeah, that they destroyed our educational system. Again,
and
I was...
Chris Weissman, do you believe that the Department of Education D.C. should be eliminated and everything brings down to here to the local level?
Yes, absolutely. Because, again, we know how to go. Again, the whole idea of what I think is, like, big government needs to stay away from small-town things. I got a small-town mentality because, again, we're on the ground level with these people. Over these students, with these kids. We know how to self-govern ourselves when it comes to our educational system. And I think, you know, the federal government needs to kind of stay in there, you know, stay out of it, to be honest with you. I think the state level, we do a good enough job of it. I think on the county levels, if we get everybody on the right page, we can do an even better job of it.
Do you believe that unions should be eliminated?
To be honest with you, I personally disagree with the union. I know a lot of teachers that they believe in the union, and they're good people, and I understand why they believe in the union, and they, you know, they still do. They have high hopes for the unions. I don't think they should have their hopes in the unions, because obviously one of the things I've noticed is that the union promises you a raise, and I've been hearing that promise of a raise for over 20 years, and all we are experiencing is you not getting that raise over and over again.
But Governor DeSantis did give raises.
No, absolutely. But here's the thing. He gives the raises, but it's up to now the school board, the governing body in the district, to be able to disperse the raises. They're not getting the money.
Because they're stealing
The money's going to union. Let me be careful.
Rusty stole it.
It's not going to the teachers. Bottom line, it's not going to the teachers.
Okay, and now we have a new superintendent who's
School board needs to focus on three things. Students, parents, teachers and the needs of all three.
And good principals. Actually,
correct.
Great principals, not even good. Great.
Because we got restrained here, so let me ask you a couple quick questions. One is, there's like 13 days left for the race. And in that 13 days, how does it look?
For me as a candidate, how does it look?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is my first time doing this. I'm learning so much. To be honest with you, from my perspective where I'm sitting, you just don't know. You are as hopeful as possible. You hope every person that you've met and that you talk to and says that they're going to vote for you is going to vote for you.
Well, I voted for you. At least you'll see my vote.
We already did that.
Right.
Oh, no, listen. I trust, and for me, not being because I'm not a traditional candidate or you know, your typical politician.
We don't want
I
a Democrat. We want a conservative. We want somebody who cares about family values.
Right, and that seems to be the overriding theme of everything is that even if you're, I'm not going to say even if you're a Democrat, because like really strong leaning Democrats are probably not going to vote for me. However, if you're a Democrat with a brain and a heart and you care about
family value and you want your child to be successful, they'll vote for you.
You don't care about you, at this point in time. That means they don't even care about what party you're in. They really care about your integrity. What's his track record? What has he done in the community? What's his character? What has he done? And I mean, for me, you know, the proof's in the pudding. So I feel really good.
How can our listeners
find you to donate or do whatever they can to help you?
You can find me, and my website is Mo Hilton, MOHYLTON, 4, schoolboard.com. MoHilton4schoolboard.com. At the bottom of that, the homepage, there's a button that says donate. Hit it as hard as you can and put as much as you possibly can into my campaign. Honestly, you don't even have to put as much as you can. Put as much as, as much as you can, I mean, like, put a lot. But reality for it is there's people that can only put a little, and I really appreciate it.
Do you have any upcoming events in the area?
Not as of yet. Nothing at the moment. I'm hoping to try and get something put together by the 14th, but nothing at the moment.
Well, here at The Truth, we endorse you, and we hope you win.
Excellent. We do.
You're the best.
Than being endorsed
you're
by
a
the
good
truth.
Hope. You've got family values, and you're a father, and I love it.
And
I'm
going to be a father again.
I support you. 2000%.
I'm also expecting number 4 on election day. So I'm going to have a brand, hopefully on that day, I'm getting congratulations for,
girl or boy.
There you go.
Getting congratulations for number 4.
Is it a girl or a boy or a surprise?
No, it's a boy.
All right.
I wanted to be surprised, but my wife, she's a planner, so...
That's wonderful.
Cool.
I want
to
thank
you
so much for coming on. Coming on The Truth. And after you win on the 23rd, we're going to bring you back.
Oh, that'd be great. I look forward to coming back. Listen,
let me ask you,
guys,
when you win on the 23rd, does that mean you won or you have to run in November?
When I win on the 23rd, I win it. To win by 51% of the votes in order for that to happen. If no candidate,
hey, we never know. Okay, so we'll see what happens, and when you win, we'll bring you back. You can give us an update for the new year. And
I absolutely would love to do that.
Lots of luck, and God is looking over you.
Amen.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much
for
having me.
You have a great night, and good luck, and excellent about the new baby and your kids.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. God bless you guys. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Okay, this is Scarlett. go.
Well, you can only,
done,
before
done,
we cut
done.
Off,
done.
I, before we
Mo,
cut
Mo,
off, I
Mo
want to thank
you. Awesome. I endorsed him. Fabulous. Go find him. Go give him money. Go give. Go to all the events. Do whatever you can. Everybody should be posting and making sure.
We gotta get Broward County. Gotta get these conservatives to the school
board. Broward County, and it's about the children. It's about getting rid of the demons. Sorry,
right.
Bad people
and
here.
That's what it is.
Who don't give
now,
a hoot
about
anybody.
Before,
and that would have included Dr. Osgood. That's another joke.
Well, that's
okay?
Why I knew
so
that was coming.
So Scarlett saying I'll be back on Sunday. Yes, Sunday.
Okay, before
news,
we cut the show, I want to say two
don't
things.
Worry, President Trump. You're gonna win. You're gonna
there
be
you go.
There.
That's one of them.
God bless
we
you.
Want...
God bless the country, and have a great night. Bye, all.
All right. Now, before we ended up with everything else, we cut the show. We're going to this time because of computerized stuff that we're working on. But before we let go, what they did to this with Trump and Mar-a-Lago is a disgrace. And the phone from a Pennsylvania Republican congressman taking his phone, and what they did to Melania's clothes is a disgrace. And it's going to come back to bite them because all of Trump's supporters are going to win the elections. That's number one. And what goes around comes around. Remember that. And the other thing is that after all the bad news, we do have one possibly good news where a young lady that we talked about a lot, there's signs that we heard stories that she may be pregnant. If it is, if she is, it will be a big change for her. It will be a good change for her because even though Scott may not agree, but I think she could be a great mom. But the bottom line is she has to really take charge because there's a lot of things that's going to come and play because it's a lot of work. Being pregnant at 43 is one. Special needs woman being pregnant at 43 is another. These are high-risk things. And a recovering addict. So she's got three things running there that's going to change, and she needs to change big time. And it means that she's got to be honest. She's got to be really loving, caring, and meeting people that are really good. And she has to get rid of the drug dealers, all the bad people that she hangs around with, the hood and all that stuff, including people with mental health problems. She needs to concentrate solely on getting herself and her baby and moving forward in life. And I'm sure the guy that got her pregnant, which will probably be her husband coming up, would definitely agree with me and would not want her to stay to hang around with bad people because it's bad for them and it's bad for the baby. Anyway, the truth is out there. Voice of People will be on the air on Sunday at 7 o'clock, and we got a bunch of new guests coming in, and you'll have a new sound also. God bless you all, and have a great evening.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA. There's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the